So the other thing is that...
That would be like after a previous event.
That wouldn't work.
After a previous event.
Even the idea of an after image is not true.
Because it wouldn't be an after image, you see. Now, that's why we divided the kingdoms into three parts. And the reason is because you have the crust, you know, the outside part, then you have the mantle, then you have the core, or the inner kingdom.
When I went to call GW half an hour ago, the phone lit up as I approached, but there was no ringing. That was a CERN antimatter experience there. JW, what did he do? He picked up the phone.
He answered the phone.
He answered the phone while I was going to call him, but then I answered. We both answered the phone at the same time. Mm-hmm. And neither of us rang it. Now, that was that's an ESP experience. This is like,
no, it was a way to do it so that you wouldn't be on the line, so that your government, Bob, wouldn't have a chance to eavesdrop on the call.
Is that what we're doing from now on?
No.
Just this call. This call.
Now you know about it, and you'll whittle on it, and you'll decide. So, but you could just say, nah, it wasn't like that. I must have really dialed the phone. Or
I have to say that, or it wouldn't continue, because my nahs create the opposite.
So it could be just as easy. Carolyn, did you leave the phone connected with JW? Fine. Hold on. Let's get somewhere. Three kingdoms. Middle kingdom is in the middle. Okay? Outer kingdom, the crust. The outside part, the part you'd lick. From the outer kingdom to the middle kingdom, you had to have two angles. From the middle kingdom to the inner kingdom, you got to have two angles. Remember the centrifuge spins one way. If you back it up, another one just like it spins the other way. Then you got to have that back. So then you got 22 is to 22.
The two spinning 8 meters, right?
Correct. Now, the two are the two angles.
Mm-hmm. They make up the number two.
Yes, that's why they call it two.
It's two angles. It is two angles.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
correct. And that's why it's two. And the two angles are the perpendicular. Well, you start drawing a trapezoid, and you're going to really get into this dynamic of the dual angles. Crystal structures are always based on two.
We're understanding what matter is made up of, what scientists are looking for.
That is correct. Okay. What's the difference between water and hydrogen peroxide?
An extra oxygen.
H2O2.
Okay. Oh, 2-2, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, because that's how you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Hydrogen, oxygen, two angles, and then that makes peroxide. And then if you take H2O, you still have two. You have water.
Did you say that hydrogen and oxygen each was an angle?
No. If you make hydrogen peroxide, you have to have two parts hydrogen, two parts oxygen, H2O2, 22.
And make peroxide. Then you mentioned angles.
Yes, because the reason it's two parts of hydrogen, because there are two angles of the hydrogen molecule.
There are two angles in the molecule.
Otherwise, you can't mix them. It would be hydrogen and oxygen. You wouldn't have a thing that made water or hydrogen peroxide.
But when you have H2O2, the two does not refer to the two angles in hydrogen.
There aren't two angles in hydrogen. It's two molecules that have to be at an angle, otherwise they would be one.
It has to be at an angle. And so the two after the letter H refers to that?
Well, no, if they were on top of each other and perfectly lined together, they would just be one. They have to have the duality of the conversation within the compounding to make water. But there's a larger part that we're trying to get to that'll help. When ice, or let's say water, is frozen and it turns to ice, what happens?
It expands.
What expands?
The matter.
The angle.
Why is the word angle being used here?
Well, because two is an angle.
No, the number two is made up of two angles.
Correct.
Then you reduce that and call it an angle, angle number two?
That's why I call it two. Otherwise, it'd be H101. Why wouldn't that make for us?
Okay, so the two does refer to what hydrogen is made up of. Hydrogen is made up of two angles.
If you're going to have H2O2, if you're trying to make compound hydrogen peroxide, yeah.
Oh, hydrogen has to be two angles, right. So the two is referring to the angular relationship.
The number of molecules. But the number two is how many angles. That's why you call it two.
We're trying to figure out how the angles are a factor. What do the angles got to do with it? So there are two angles.
That's how you know it's two.
So matter is rubs up against each other, the particulars in relationship through angles?
Absolutely. Otherwise, if it was rubbing up next to it, how would you know if you didn't know how many angles it was to it?
Well, here's a hydrogen molecule. It's these two little round things attached. There doesn't look like any angles there at all. It's just one straight line.
I understand, dear, but how would you know to call it two if it wasn't two angles in the two? The number two is known as two because it has two angles.
All right, so that's two. It's made up of two angles. Now, how does that factor that two is two angles relate to the relationship between the two hydrogen molecules?
It tells how many angles there are in the hydrogen molecule of the equation to create peroxide.
You're not telling us what the angles are relating, what they're connecting, what they're...
Because when we ask for an angle, because when you look at H2, the double, you know, the two hydrogen...
What's
H1? A hydrogen ion.
Oh, it would be an ion?
No. Yes, it would. H1. Okay. Now, H2... is two little round balls.
With no angle.
Two, I beg your pardon.
Just a straight line between the two. The shortest distance between two objects is a straight line.
The balls are on either side of a straight line. There's no angle involved.
Yeah, there would be an angle. The line
one
is frozen.
One ball is touching one side of the straight line. One ball is touching the opposing side of the straight line. You have about 38 angles in that picture right there.
Yeah, what he's saying is where the line attaches and touches, then you get the angle created.
Oh, right, where they touch. Then it's extended out. That's just the same angle.
No, but look, see, that's an angle in there, and there's an angle in there. And
right.
Oh, within the line.
Where the line touches the ball.
There's little angles between the lining and the thing it touches.
Right.
Okay.
So that's the angle, so that helps.
Well, how do you know what angle it is?
It doesn't matter, because then it moves. Like when these two hydrogen attach to the oxygen, then the angles...
Or the O2. Either O or O2.
Start moving.
Well, we never learned about angles in high school physics. Do scientists talk about angles?
News reporters do.
Yeah, the angle of this conspiracy or that. But, I mean, you took chemistry, Carol, they never talked about angles. So
No. This
is something that is not known.
When you take geometry, they do go over angles a bit.
You learn what angles are, but they don't teach you in chemistry that there's some kind of angular meaning in H2.
All right, you marvelous creator. Good. You open this can of tuna, and you're going to play with it a little bit. How, therefore, then, do you come to the laudable conclusion that H2O is water?
Oh, I don't know how they know anything. I never studied it.
Okay, those that did. So you are by default in the outer kingdom accepting these things that is as now at face value, because that's how you are able to know it.
No, I wasn't. I want to know, Carol, who took chemistry in college or somewheres, the course never mentioned the word angles. And so I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I just want to know whether scientists say the word angles. If they don't use the word angles when they're talking...
They use it, go from atomic number and molecular weight, how they calculate it. They do the numeric valuation, leaving out the alphanumeric equation.
Yeah, it's streamlined. they jump over. Like, every time we come to a tree, we don't feel the tree. Yeah, it feels like a tree. This is a tree. We gloss over it and say, oh, that looks like a tree. That's a tree. And when they use atomic numbers, it's glossing over the actual mechanism within that made the atomic number. They go in.
But until you have the angles, you can't figure out your language to know what a tree is.
Yeah, we never knew the numbers were made up of angles. And that never was taught. Nobody talks about that. It's only this little thing on the internet that shows it. So the angles are glossed over.
But isn't it interesting? You're the best question asker ever, ever, ever. Why has it never dawned on you to say, where does the value of numbers come from?
Well,
they always are.
Well, I questioned all that kind of stuff. I just had no one to bounce it off of.
Oh?
We're going into hydrogen. We don't get what this angle stuff is with the hydrogen molecules.
Then use it from the angle of two, that there are two circles.
Okay, there are two
circles. There are two angles to know that there are two.
What do you need two of between the Middle Kingdom and the Outer Kingdom, Carol? What was the two?
Angles.
Two angles. And then you were showing the angle between the hydrogen and the oxygen molecule. For the two hydrogens.
And what was that to show?
An example of how you apply from a molecular structure, how it is the beginning places of now. Those beginning places.
Is what? Is a line between two circles? That's a beginning place?
If you can figure out the distance between two hydrogen molecules, you can figure out the distance between the Outer Kingdom and the Middle Kingdom.
Now we're going to hear session 242, January 23rd, 2010, with Carolyn leading the charge on ion. More information about the angles, and we even get into ion and why ion first called itself a dodecahedron. Here we go.
How important is it for us to know about these two angles between inner and middle and under and middle?
You will never be able to achieve a comprehensive understanding of the three kingdoms without understanding the two angles or proximity between the three from a two-angled standpoint. You will never be able to understand it until you come to this place of getting the angle business. It's critical. That's what it is.
And is it never be able to understand the distance between me and me? Is that what we're not...
And the access of you through the kingdoms. Something can tug at your heartstrings in the inner kingdom that can affect your outer kingdom, but never make it to your middle kingdom, and then you die of a broken heart.
Can you give me some more analogies about the angle so I understand a little more what that is?
Okay. In the outer kingdom, you'd like to enjoy space travel. But there's never been any space travel before. But the inner kingdom says, wait a second, we're trying all day, every day to stay grounded to this earth. But the outer kingdom wants us to go to Mars or the moon, to Alice, to the moon. Okay, so the inner kingdom, you can have a little strife between the kingdoms. Well, the middle kingdom almost doesn't care. It just wants everybody to be happy over there.
Where's over there?
Where's over between the two kingdoms? Oh. The heart, settle it in your heart. And then the outer kingdom being whole in your body, whole in your earth.
Okay, whole in your body, and the inner kingdom is settled in your heart.
The phrase, let there be peace on earth, has to do with the outer kingdom. But the phrase, peace be still, is in the middle kingdom. And then the phrase is, I want to find peace in my heart over this matter. That's the inner kingdom. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get the angles between those, it really won't make any difference in your world because you got three sets of two conversations going on.
You're saying angles, but could it be like a percentage, like the...
No, it's an angle. It's a trigonometry to get you to understand your proximity between the kingdoms. And every single thought can vary. And it depends on the angle in which it is pursued, sets the angle that gives you the proximity between the three kingdoms.
when you have an idea and then you place it up against your outer kingdom and inner kingdom, are you trying to put a numerical value on the angle?
No.
Well, what's the point of it then?
You're trying to apply a scientific aspiration to a direction, and that's not that way at all. You write a book. Why do you write a book? What's the reason? You want to affect the outer kingdom. You want others to enjoy that work and get good out of it because you poured your heart, the inner kingdom, into this work, correct? Now, what angle or percentage or value does that attach to that? None whatsoever. The middle kingdom will arrive when the work is embraced by other human creators and helps them figure out their angles of how to navigate their world, their universe, their life. And you got to start somewhere, and you start with the basics, and that's what you did in your first work.
If it's not a numerical value, if it's not a percentage, but if it's just an angle, then all you're saying is you just got to know that there's a relationship between middle and inner and middle and outer.
Yes, and each one of those is two angles, so every conversation is two conversations. So every access to the kingdoms would have two choices. Good, yes. It's that simple. Because it's not about 12 degrees, 44 degrees. We're off by this much, so we have to correct our path. Never, never know. Because every conversation is different. It could be as easy as, how do I make food that my husband will enjoy that won't be packed full of sugar? That's an angle.
Say that again.
Well, how much is that? You don't know how much it is because he'll balk. He wants more and more and more and more, you see. So it's that angle of, we don't want to say even a mediocrity of a happy medium. What we want to do is get the fullness thereof. Well, once you understand the two different paths or angles, then you can have the fullness thereof just by simply saying how wonderful it is, period.
So right there you say, once you understand the two different paths or angles, so you're saying that an angle can be a path.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I think the angle just threw us off in terms of the geometrics of it.
Maybe. But every direction has to be a geographical angle, doesn't it? You go to the beach in a geographic pathway, do you not?
Yeah, but path would have made it easier.
But path means is an action. There's no action required here. It's just that you understand you can get to the beach many different ways.
But an angle, if we describe an angle, it's more like this way instead of this triangle.
Yeah, and we would have done it that way, except for your Christian church has spent millennia trying to get you to understand the way, and nobody gets it.
Okay.
So we thought, well, that's been tried and didn't work, so let's try one that does work. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the doctor says, well, we can do this process, and if it doesn't work, then we'll do this process. Then you say, well, doctor, why don't we just go to the last one that will work, and then you follow the other ones.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what they do with magnesium. They say, well, we'll use these five different types of blood pressure drugs, and if that doesn't work, we'll use magnesium. And actually, that usually works.
And if the Lipitor doesn't kill you, then maybe the magnesium will survive.
So an angle, it's like, you know, when people say in business or whatever, but what's this guy's angle? Mm-hmm. It's the user, it's the content. Everybody has their own journey, their own process. Mm-hmm. Their angles is your method, mm-hmm. your natural inclination of how you're going to do it.
It's just like your fella on the radio show that has a question for us and says, we've written a marvelous, wonderful book. Well, what do you see about our book?
Yeah.
And we say, well, what do you see in your book? Well, we see nobody's buying it. Nobody's reading it. It must not be a very good book. And we go, well, then that's why no one's reading it. If your book was that good and you knew it, you wouldn't have to ask non-physical how good your book was. You wouldn't think you'd know.
So we had this word angled yesterday, and we took it mathematically, geometrically, and all that. Misinterpreted.
No, it's not a misinterpretation. You pondered it. And the contrast that was caused from that pondering got you to the place where you could get it. Fabulous.
and we get it today, 24 hours later.
Because now when someone else you bump into that asks you a question and they go, if I do this with trigonometry or calculus through an equation, how can I write this down to make this empirical science that you'll go down in the records as being the best ever at calculating all, and you'll understand it to a point that you'll be able to even take them through this contrast that you've already been through and can let them play with
no,
those
no.
numbers.
See, no, too many pronouns. See,
Ion is trying to say is that if we write about this angle business and we state it all out and explain it, but then some people just say, well, do you mean the angle in geometry? We'll already have gone through that and we can explain it. That's all.
And do it softly, because you had the same experience as well.
No, it's not an angle.
Oh, okay. So Ion didn't want to say the word way. The Christians blew that one. So
right.
He said, okay,
right.
Let's say angle to the stupid physical people. We'll say angle. They'll think it's mathematical. And that is what we want them to do to, for some reason, get them to run around a rabbit hole about the mathematical angle. And then 24 hours later, we'll tell them, no, it's not that. It's the users of content. So we're supposed to redo that not as... Why even say the word angle?
Because the way doesn't work.
Right. So you're
the half doesn't work.
Yes, but that's what it means. So you...
Well, when we talk about angle, we'll say it means path and way. Instead of letting people think it's geometry, but some people will look at angle and immediately think geometry, and then...
And we'll tell them in the second sentence, hey, it's not geometry.
Right.
And then we're just saying the way... Well, why are you saying angle? Oh, it's an idiosyncratic thing because we don't like the way the word way is, but it's the same meaning. See, it's weak, weak, weak. It's silly, you know. He does mean it mathematically. There is a mathematical aspect to
it. I'm sure.
Okay, let's go back to...
We got that with the pyramids, and which we'll have to get to.
Well, let's see how that relates to someone's path and way. Let's put the two together now.
The angle issue of why some may get it that way. Some people, like Carolyn, processes different words and phrases differently from the dynamic. They could, Bob. You can, Bob. It is possible, Bob, to actually do it from an algebraic formula. You can navigate your way with geometry vis-a-vis angles. If you remember the very beginning when you were asking us how many we were, and we said we're dodecahedron, and you said, well, how many entities are you? And we said every angle of a dodecahedron, each step of that angle is a different actual angle, and that's a different entity. You literally, if you had a big enough plastic box that could count in your binary code, you could actually come up with an equation that would accurately calculate the number that is us. Someone who understood the angle part may just get it right out of the chute. They go, perfect. This is what was wrong with the Christian dogma, is they always kept saying, well, everybody will be happy over there, but they never said where over there was. You see?
Well, they did. They
said everybody will be happy here. Then they'd understand it. But then they go, well, wait a minute. Everybody will be happy over here. Well, I'm here, and I'm not happy, so that's not true. So, Ion, what you're saying is a damn lie, because everybody will not be happy over here because everybody's not happy here. And we say, oh, yes, but you certainly can't be. Just because you're not allowing happiness to find you doesn't mean happiness isn't about you, around you.
With the angles, then the double angles, you saying there's two angles, so let's just go into that a little more.
The reason that there are two angles between the three kingdoms is because those three kingdoms would confine all that you call your human experience on your earth.
Those two angles would confine them?
Yes, between the three kingdoms. Of what you have in your physicalness. Well, let's just say the whole package on planet Earth
would
all be covered within the three kingdoms. In the distance between each of those kingdoms, there are two angles that separate those kingdoms.
Which makes it four angles.
We did that already because it's, you know, you have access to the inner, the outer, that's an angle, and then from the middle is an angle, and then back and forth. You're trying to get it all in the middle kingdom. You're trying to have the total, the full Monty experience in the middle kingdom. That's why the angles are important, because they are paths that can connect all three kingdoms.
So is there something that you allow to happen with the angles so that they all allow you to relate everything in the middle kingdom?
We would say yes, and we have an easy example. Like your electronic things and your light switches and things, you have two ways, typically, on or off. There's right. Two angles of that light switch. One angle is on and one angle is off. But you can have a three-way switch, you know, like at the stairs, you can turn it on at the bottom and then turn it off at the top. That would connect the upper level lighting and the lower level lighting on the same path through different worlds, because you're in a whole different plane on the second level of your house. So when you say it that way, you go, oh, yeah, okay. So that's an example of understanding the twist of the angles. It's not a complete one, but it's a good one. Now, then you also have different elements through the kingdoms. Let's do it this way. You have three kingdoms. Is the weather, the physical weather on your planet that is in around you, is it the same in all three kingdoms? For example, if it's a rainy day, is it rainy in the middle kingdom? Yes. Would it be rainy on the inner kingdom and the outer kingdom? And we say it absolutely could. But doesn't necessarily have to, because guess what? You could be blue in the inner kingdom. Do you understand blue, malaise, in your heart, in the inner kingdom? And because of that feeling place of blueness, you literally could affect the middle kingdom and cause it to rain. And then you kind of go, wow. Mm-hmm. All right, now we're on a roll here. Now let's say you're out walking to the beach and you get caught in a little shower. And you're just as happy as a lark, and it's no problem. Inner kingdom, just tickled.
Mm-hmm.
Middle kingdom, left on a beautiful day. Rain came, and it hits your skin, and you notice dampness on your body that wasn't from the ocean. Then guess what? The outer kingdom then can affect rain, and it be in your middle kingdom.
The outer kingdom can affect rain. You mean it can... Notice, yes. Can embrace rain.
And then it'll be in your middle kingdom, and you'll go, well, look at that, it's raining.
Why do you say affect rain?
No, we didn't say affect rain. We said it would affect the middle kingdom.
I mean, the words you said were, then the outer kingdom can affect rain and
yes.
Be
if
in
you
your middle
caught,
kingdom.
If you get caught in the rain in the outer kingdom,
mm-hmm.
And it hits your skin, and maybe you didn't even know it was raining, and then you start feeling wet stuff on your body, that's rain in the outer kingdom that would then be moved to your middle kingdom in your experience, practically.
Mm-hmm.
But now let's give another example. And this will get fun here. Let's say you're going to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
You did not long ago. You're in your middle kingdom, and you decide in your inner kingdom that there's something going on, we'll go to the movies. And we don't go to the movies. That's a foreign thing. It hadn't been forever. And you decided that the inner kingdom says, let's go play with this. It'll be fun. Okay. You dressed accordingly. You prepared for the experience so you wouldn't be sleepy. You were together. So great. You tear off to the movies. Beautiful day. Everything's nice. Everything's good or cloudy or whatever it was. Okay. In the movie, the outer kingdom can have a storm and have a really big rain shower and can stop raining. And you know how the rain is there. It can rain and dry up in 30 minutes. And if you didn't know it was raining, you wouldn't necessarily have known it ever rained. So the outer kingdom can experience rain while you're in the confines of the movie theater being avatared and never even experience it in your middle kingdom.
Yeah. That brings up the next aspect of talking about the outer kingdom. It's outside your physical body.
Yes, and all your unrealized creations are there too.
And then if you feel the outer kingdom Does my physical body have an outer kingdom as well as the outside world have an outer kingdom?
No. There is no outside world. Unless you're bringing in parallel worlds, but I thought we were leaving them at bay until we understood this. There is an external world, but that external world is part of your world. Otherwise, it won't be.
Okay, so if I'm in a movie and the outer kingdom has a rainstorm, it doesn't really have a rainstorm because I don't know it. It doesn't impinge on me, so it didn't happen.
Correct. That's correct. But there can be empirical evidence when you come out of the movie where everything is clear and it's nice and everything is wet. You know what I mean? You can tell the trees have had moisture. And then you can notice, wow, in my world, in my outer kingdom, while I was enjoying my middle kingdom, we had a lovely, refreshing shower. How nice that is.
Why bring in this outer kingdom bit? In your middle kingdom, you had the rain, but you didn't experience it because you're in a theater. That's it. Why bring in the outer kingdom? What is this outer kingdom factor? What's the relevance?
The Grand Wilaya for you is in the outer kingdom.
Well, that's an unrealized creation.
That's right.
All right, so the outer kingdom.
It's like a rain shower that happens that you don't experience.
Yeah, but that did happen.
The Grand Wilaya.
Yeah, I know, Grand Wilaya, it happened to you.
So it's like things kind of in the periphery that we can bump up against is our outer kingdom.
Mm-hmm. When you have spirits in your house, that's how they come in, is through the outer kingdom.
What is the outer kingdom? Have you defined it?
Yeah.
What is it?
The mantle.
Oh, that was geography. What is it? The mantle? No, it's not. It's a crust, Carol. The outer kingdom is the crust.
Oh, sorry, yeah, crust.
Yeah. Hey, Carol, if Bob licked you on your ear, that would be licking you on your crust.
Or outer kingdom. Okay, see, but let's
instead of saying your middle kingdom. But if you were sound asleep and didn't notice it, he could lick your ear and you wouldn't even know it.
And the middle kingdom would not know it.
Right.
Okay, so Gurdjieff said there was the intellectual center, the emotional center, and the movement center, the sex center, and physical center. It sounds like the interplay of those five things, it's not exactly what you're talking about, but you're talking about the makeup. This is the anatomy of the human that should be taught at med schools, is what you're describing.
Absolutely, because otherwise, why would you need such a vast neuron schematic to keep up with all of these inputs that are coming into your middle kingdom? Carolyn, how many miles of nerves do you have in the human body?
Many.
Why do you need all that if it's just the middle kingdom?
It tried to say your physical body is very complex, very amazing.
No, it's not.
Yeah, they say it's very amazing and you need all that. And they're not saying, no, you need all that because you're taking in data from the other world, which is the outer kingdom.
Yeah.
You're taking in data beyond what the biology shows you, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm. Just like CERN. CERN is giving representation of the outer kingdom. And then people are in their inner kingdom are noticing that they're playing with fire. And then they go, wait a second, this is something interesting. Oh, we don't understand it, so it must be an abomination. Okay, so then they get it all twisted around and they find out something and they end up proving that there is no tying. Mm-hmm. Then guess what? The outer kingdom can give empirical evidence to prove in the middle kingdom that we've got this all screwed up. We've had it screwed up all along. The world really isn't flat. Sorry, never mind.
You talk about your skin as the outer kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But one shouldn't be limited by the image of the skin.
Right. That was just a way to give a pictorial so you could understand it. Like the inside.
In other words, we're taking in, you know how our non-physical is bigger than our physical? Like a big bubble?
Yeah.
These are the parts of the non-physical, maybe.
They can be, absolutely.
What do you mean, these? What is these refer to, Bob?
The three kingdoms are a breakdown of this vague, vacuous term called non-physical. And I don't think it's totally non-physical because Ion said this is not non-physical, but it's non-physical in there. But this is sort of like the image that our non-physical picks up a lot. It's so big, it's picking up all kinds of things, like 6 billion people and all that. You're picking it up, and that allows you to cause earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
These three kingdoms are a way of thinking of some aspect of the bubble that's bigger than your body. When Ion says it's non-physical bigger than the physical, this is what the non-physical is made up of.
Yes, it's fabulous.
Yeah, because the heart, the inner core, that's like hunches, which is non-physical. The middle kingdom is the now, which is
all there
all there is. And then there's the outer kingdom, which tunes you in with your million miles of synaptic nerves, tunes you into everybody on the planet and everything else.
Which allows other experiences into your peripheral view or into your horizon.
And these experiences,
allows,
does it allow, do you, is that involved with parallel worlds?
Not yet. There is a huge, voluminous amount of voluminous work when you start bringing in parallel worlds to understand the kingdoms. So we said no, but it actually kind of is, but we don't want to open that till we're ready to use it.
It'll okay.
They're just dealing with this world right now.
Yes. Because once you get this, then that makes it easy. Because, see, we gave it to you before. Everything you needed, everything you wanted, everything you desired to do what you wanted to do.
You gave said, what to us before?
Parallel worlds and remembering UFOs.
Oh, you mean before this? You gave us like a bigger picture.
Well, you said, I want to do this. Can I do it? We said, yes. How do I do it? Do it this way. And we had Bob Tote cubes over threshold.
Yeah, hold on. So are we saying... You didn't have to give us that before.
No, he gave it, and then we didn't really...
you didn't embrace it.
Embrace it enough, so we have to go at it this way.
Well, is this just an ad hoc model that Ion's made up to sort of come, like the word angle instead of the word way?
Nope.
If we had gotten it, you still would have had to go into this.
We would happily, but your questions would be way different if we were doing it in a parallel world.
No. If we learned to parallel world travel... You know, by last month, and we did. Then you would still have to talk about the three kingdoms.
No, your question would be, Bob, you know, we were in a parallel world. And when we were in that parallel world, a weird, strange thing I noticed. Inside the parallel world, there seemed to be a separation within that parallel world that we were in. Did you notice that, Bob? Well, yes, Bob, I did notice that. As a matter of fact, it was a little bit strange. It seemed not quite upside down, but there seemed to be a separation. It seemed to be divided into three specific kingdoms. There seemed to be a middle kingdom, an inner kingdom, and an outer kingdom. And that's very interesting because, Bob, you know, Bob, I noticed that. And, well, Bob, I did too. That's interesting that you said that because while I was paralleling in another world, sitting on the mantle, through a keyhole of a door that I couldn't penetrate, I noticed that in the place where I was outside of this world. And when I noticed that sitting on the mantle, I noticed how interesting the division was between these three individual kingdoms. And that's very interesting, Bob, because when we came back, Bob, did you notice that there's probably the same type thing here? Well, you know, it's Bob, it's funny that you mentioned that because, Bob, when I saw it back in this world, it didn't feel quite the same way. It felt a bit foreign to me. Yes, Bob, but when you noticed when you went downstairs, you went to a different level, but yet you were in your, still in your same house, Bob's house. Oh, right, Bob, very good. Okay, so you're saying that that division that we noticed in the parallel world that we remembered and experienced is actually also in this particular world. Bob, you have figured it out. How very wonderful. So you're mean, Bob, that if we can draw in the middle kingdom, the inner kingdom, if we can draw to the middle kingdom, the inner kingdom, which is our inside, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart, and experience it through the outside kingdom, or maybe say outside things. The chip body would introduce things from the outer kingdom, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, Bob, that's probably how that would come. Oh, so when we allow those creations to be validated, that has to come from the outer kingdom. Yes, in that outer kingdom, you can read a story, Bob, on your chip box about somebody crying in Haiti from the outer kingdom, and it can move your inner kingdom to emotion. And it might even suggest in your middle kingdom to give them a donation or send them $5 or send them Callan's nut pate that you didn't want to eat anyway, and then they'd be happy forever because they'd be fed and nutritiously sustained. Well, that would come from the middle kingdom. And then you could figure that all out. But almost kind of have. And you know why you're saying that, Bob? Because you are now having that conversation now in your middle kingdom.
What was the question that led to that answer? You're now having it.
Outer, other worlds, parallel world.
Haiti. Being affected, send $5 to Haiti, and then it slipped into this thing that ended up with the punchline, this is Bob now. So what was
the conversation is between you and you. You know why we are saying that, Bob? Because you are now having that conversation in your middle kingdom.
Because you had it in a parallel world.
Is the conversation with between Bob the conversation you described where I saw the Haiti and decided to send $5?
Yes.
That was a conversation with myself? That was a conversation with myself?
Everything has to be Bob. When you have a conversation with Bob, you have to validate it through those damned bodies. So that was the way Bob, you took it to the other Bob, was how the chip body could move your inner kingdom from your outer kingdom and have an effect on your middle kingdom. You did that, as a matter of fact.
I did what?
Have that conversation in a parallel world.
And we can't say when.
Well, we can, but there's no time. Wherever you got it, you drug it home to this middle kingdom and having conversation now with non-physical regarding it.
All that Ion said over the last 10 minutes, I heard said to me in a parallel world?
Yes. You and you had that conversation just like that.
Right. And so what?
There wasn't a single pronoun that you didn't understand.
That's because it was between Bob and Bob.
But what's that got to do with us getting techniques and how to do whatever?
What that was in answer to was, if you had been traveling to parallel worlds and remembering it, you would have come across these three kingdoms on your own and figured it all out. That's all.
This is from session 241, January 22nd, 2010. It's the Three Kingdoms session, but we have this section on tactility.
For what you want, and that's not serving so good. But then you look at your empirical past to see how it can affect your future. But then you're looking back to see if you can look back to see if you can look back to see if you're looking back at me. Well, then you see, then you come into a place with the two angle side. It links them empirically all together, so there is no conversation that you cannot connect and have a laudable conclusion of your experience of what you call now.
So the concept of tactility, which I've used for 40 years...
Without two, tactility doesn't work. You have no counterpoint of view that you could see as tactile.
Well, I didn't know what that sense meant, but let me...
Then how does tactility work? On one hand, everything's wonderful. On the other hand, it sucks. Well, that's tactile.
Yes, that's contrast.
If you cut one of those hands off, it's all bliss or it all sucks. And that's not tactility, it's just the way it is.
So the two sides of the coin, or this interplay, this word tactile I use to explain everything, which is what you were saying. If you figure it out, you can explain everything. I use the word tactility. Who knows what it is? It's hard to explain or hard to prove, but some people pretend they understand what I...
You talked yourself right out of that.
Yeah. I don't know what tactility is. Impressed. I have no proof of it, but I used it and it worked. And now I understand the middle kingdom is the tactile interval, which is the physical, which is here, which is all the now.
It's the angle or the plane in which duality is made manifest.
And to me, that's the definition of tactility.
That's where it all comes together.
You just defined tactility. Do you see that as tactility, what he said, Cal?
It's where duality is made manifest in the middle kingdom.
That tactility is where it applies.
Oh, you just mentioned the word tactility. We were going with Cal's definition. That was good. I just wanted a yes or no from you. But then you brought in the word tactility, which is my zone. So why did you bring in tactility?
Because it's how you validate. You never play with tactility in the inner kingdom. You never play with tactility in the outer kingdom. The only place you ever have the experience of tactility or a tactile experience is in the middle kingdom.
The middle kingdom, I say that's tactility, but it's not really correct to say it's tactility, but tactility is a major factor of the middle kingdom.
It's where you experience it.
Because it's the go-between between the outer and the inner.
It is, and without it, you can't get to it because, like you said, the inner kingdom doesn't care, and the outer kingdom didn't notice.
We have talked about the interplay of the mind, the labyrinth of the mind, the physical, non-physical, and then became Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and they could be switch roles, and mind could be Father, and, you know, remember that part?
Yeah.
Is that switching a role applicable to the outer and inner kingdoms and the middle kingdom?
That can, for many, become a tactile experience. So in the middle kingdom, yes, you can deal with that and sort it out and sift it out. No, my mind is the Father, and my non-physical is the Holy Spirit, and my meat sack is the Son. That's the way it has to be. And you turn it around, turn around, and says, no, well, if I'm a deist or I'm God, then the Father has to be non-physical. And then the mind has to be the Holy Ghost, because that's where all these mysteries get lived.
That's right. You can create different narratives with different angles of semantic meaning and different ways of lining three up. And
in the middle kingdom only. Good.
You can do that only in the middle kingdom, right, because you actually are unbalanced when you go to the non-physical. You're just getting no contrast.
That's correct. But then you can take bliss and run it through the labyrinth of your mind and blow your brains out.
While you're in the middle kingdom, or?
Well, yeah. And you see, you can get so blissed out that you're
in the middle kingdom, but you don't. That's not a problem on the non-physical.
That's what non-physical is, you see.
Yeah, pure
the labyrinth of mind can make rules and go, I'm so happy. I'm just happy. I have everything I want. Everybody loves me. Everything's perfect. I'm taking away from everyone else. I don't deserve to live.
No, I often feel that. Every now and then I say I have an urge to just run out the window and leap over. Mm-hmm. And I take that as that's the bliss overflowing the mind, and the mind forgets its check on the bliss. And you think, oh, if I forgot, I'll just run over because I'm so blissed out. That feeling of doing that and the blocking is an example of the interplay between the physical, the mind, and the non-physical.
Only in the middle kingdom.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, what the heck is an angle? To say that there are two angles, what is an angle? Why even bring that in? Is an angle just two things? An angle is the way two things meet, Carolyn. The angle represents the fact you need another to know yourself.
It's their intersection.
It's me knowing you. I know myself through how you reflect back to me. That's what an angle is. So an angle is a relationship.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I was reading it in this article, and you see, what was interesting about reading this article, Dad, I was saying, now, is this guy saying something equal to Ion or more or less than Ion? And it was talking about relationship and tactility, and I think he was talking about it because he comes out of the McLuhan school, so you learn that from the McLuhan thing or some aberration of it. I decided it didn't include something, but there were many points that I could quote that are the sentences I just said that I knows absolutely to. Okay.
Right. Very good.
Yeah, because this McLuhan quote, this is what got me 40 years ago. I read it about 40 years ago. He said, objects are unobservable, only relationships between objects are observable.
And that's by vis-a-vis angles.
Or a relationship. It's via relationships. But the thing I learned from Ion maybe is that you don't need to rely on relationships.
No.
Because you create your own universe.
Well, no. Wait, now. Actually, the wording was very apropos. You said it correct. You don't require relationships. Relation.
Yeah.
You don't require relationships, so you don't have to relationship.
Right.
But are they fun? Yes, they are. In calculating the different colors of crayons, and the contrast that this color looks good with that color.
Yeah, contrast is a relationship.
And that relationship of choosing the combination thereof, they become what you call unlimited impossibilities.
Now, can you remember this afternoon? I said we had a new definition of contrast. We're walking home. I said, contrast is this. And we, oh, yeah, that's a new angle. We were going to ask Ion about it. We were kind of getting close to it. What was it? Contrast was time. Right, right. You said in the earlier reading today, I thought I heard this, humans insist on having time here.
They created it.
When you come here to mix it up, you need time. You don't like the word name, but you have time, and that's what causes contrast.
That. Yeah, I don't really.
Yeah, I know. That. Okay. So. The time is here and remains here because it's part of the contrast of being in the physical. What Ion is trying to get us to get is to really deeply realize there's no time, therefore you can play with time, and you can't get rid of time,
no.
But we'll call it timing.
No, Bobby.
No. That would be like saying Ion is trying to get us to understand that there is no dirt on the floor, so we have to create a broom to sweep the floor to prove that there's no dirt on the floor. Yeah, see, we're trying to get it easier than that. If you could understand that your creation of time is a false premise and that you don't require it at all,
you'd still be able to experience contrast.
You certainly would.
Yeah.
You certainly would, because many things that you're calling time is contrast.
I like tactility defined as contrast or contrast tactility, but I was thinking today that, oh, time is contrast or tactility. I know there's no time, but time is the duration of being here, which creates contrast.
It is not. Time is not the duration of being on planet Earth. It is not. It is not the duration. It is not. It is not. It's not. It's not. It's not. It's not.
To prove that contrast is not time, we can get rid of time, and you'll still have contrast.
You absolutely will.
Right. So contrast is tactility, which has nothing to do with time.
Yeah, because you're screwing around with time like it's the mean that everybody's judged by, and no one's is the same. No one works out the same. It doesn't line up anything. It just is what bites you in the butt. Well, great. I feel less than because I can't go to the beach on the time frame that I want to because of all this time stuff that has to be worked out. When why can't I just go to the beach? Well, I don't have time to call JW and start all this stuff. No. Well, JW doesn't have time to call me. So guess what? Once you start getting rid of time, you can be walking to the phone. JW picks up the phone,
yeah,
pushes the button, and listens to your words say, hello. We say, hi, Bob. How are you? We knew you called. JW knew that you called him. You're saying you didn't. And then, so therefore, that time becomes a topical conversation of how this call could not be.
And that's timing. That was an experience of timing today.
That is correct, but not time. Because it didn't happen at the same time, because your time and JW's time, Christ, there's 5 hours difference. In your
okay,
time.
I got that. Fine. The reason the physical and non-physical are so close, that when you're in non-physical and bliss, you eventually, quote, get kind of bored and want to mix it up. So you actually experience a kind of contrast in the contrastless zone.
Or you have to move to North Carolina.
Yes, if you're bored. But you see, there is an aspect of contrast in heaven, so to speak. And that's why you come forth. Now, that may not be accurate, but I'm sort of getting at something there.
No, what you're getting at is all the unrealized creations that went into the dove. It becomes a shipping clearinghouse. So those unrealized creations, not contrast, but they are present in the distance between the kingdoms, which allow the new one coming forth into this physical bodiness to have a more, well, we like transubstantiation of the middle kingdom. That's why you don't have to be born in Malibu to be happy, or born to rich parents or poor parents or the Bronx or some very nasty place in Brooklyn. You don't have to be from there in order to be happy. So now it becomes a relativity issue. And if you can get the three kingdoms and you can start mastering your capacity in this world, then going to other worlds becomes no big deal.
Where is the guff in relation to the three kingdoms?
It's not behind the veil.
Because the three kingdoms are here and they're now.
Only.
The gap is closing, because so many of our unrealized creations are rapidly being manifested here?
Yes.
That's a factor, you know. There's so much amazing creativity by default going on here that there's no more bugging contrast in the guff of unrealized creations. That's the only thing that's bugging the ones that are in the non-physical. They can see the unrealized creations and they want to sort of make them happen.
An example is Rosemary Clooney's grandson, George.
What about George Clooney?
He decided that they were going to have a telethon for To Hell with the Haitians. I think that was the name of it, To Hell with the Haitians. So he put it together and got artists to come actually answer the phone so you could talk to Steven Spielberg and give your $11 $0.25 to Hell with the Haitians. So then they had these singers, these different singers to come together. Okay? Great. They did it like the Jerry Lewis telethon where they had talking about To Hell with the Haitians, and the Haitians should go to hell.
Is that what they did?
No, Bob.
So then you'd think, great, you're going to do this telethon. And that's wonderful. And people can watch the telethon, enjoy the music. They can buy the music on their Peapod for $10 that goes on their bill. So that you can give your donation and it's on your bill and you don't have to do anything. You see? And you can give money and talk to the different Fat Cats, all the hundreds and hundreds of the big artists, so you can talk to them on the phone. For your Ukini donation. Okay. Now, here's what's interesting. The interesting part is if you have a way to look up a TV show lineup, you would find, now JW didn't know how many it was on, but we do. And he questioned it. 141 channels at the same time.
What's the point here?
Well, Bob, if you only had 70 channels, he has more, but if you only had 70 channels, then that would have been your only choice.
If you only had 70 channels.
Might as well have been broadcast on the emergency broadcast network. What we're trying to say is that, crazily, it was on every network. Don't you think after 5 channels or 10 channels or 50 channels, that most certainly, absolutely would have been enough? The HBO, I mean, even the pay-per-views had it.
Well, we're not getting the point you're trying to make here. What's the point?
Synchronicity of synchronizing all these channels that To Hell with Haiti's telethon didn't synchronize anything. It actually distracted because it was such overload, you had no choice. But when you make a human creator have no other opportunity but the George Clooney
day, they rebel. They rebel.
They turn it off.
And that's why we call it The Hell with Haitians, because that was the effect of the thing.
It overloaded it. It overblew it all.
Did they not raise much money then?
You don't know that. No. They don't even know that yet.
Okay, but that's what we're going to judge. You can say they overblew everybody and pissed people off, but they raised $2 billion or whatever big amount, then that's a success. If they only raised $10, then that's a humiliation.
But it's ongoing still, and then there'll be reruns of it besides.
Are you saying they failed because so many people are turned off, they're not going to donate?
No, we would say, if you're going to take 141 channels, why don't you stagger it so it's on all day for a week?
So why didn't they? I mean, you're bringing up these are silly humans, but why didn't they do that?
You're talking about syncing up, and even when everything is synced up at the exact same experience, at the exact same now, then you still have contrast.
It's no big deal if we're all one.
You still have contrast. You were all one tonight. Yeah. That was all the choice there was. Great. And there was still contrast. And your point was that even if you get rid of time, there'll still be contrast. And we gave you the best example of lining everybody up at all the same time in one shot through. And there was still contrast.
case, because they synchronized up with the concept of time, they blew it because they were synchronizing within the context of time or concept time. That's why they blew it in Clooney's show.
Very good.
Did they have performances on this show?
They had 100 singers and performers, and they called it Hope for Haiti.
Hope
is not a strategy.
Right. Hope for Haiti now. Hope for Haiti now.
Yeah. So that means they hope the Haitians all go to hell.
One would say that considering the shoddy way they organized it. Isn't that your point?
Well, we were just making the larger...
Yeah, the contrast that came out with it. People are getting pissed off and go, the hell with the Haitians. Was that uttered a lot in American households?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That became the global cooling in response to the global warming.
They didn't have anything before. An earthquake came and knocked everything they didn't have down. And they don't have anything now. And so...
we got to give them a lot.
Give.
And you're saying a lot of people got turned off by it.
Yeah.
And George Clooney was the organizer of this? Is he number one or something? Is he one of the heavy A-listers?
Sure.
And he organized it. Mm-hmm. Or he's the figurehead of organ. Now, the money they get probably stolen on top of that, right?
No. Tsunami money he never got to the Philippines.
Yeah. Let's go into George Clooney. Does he not understand that he's doing a stupid thing and other people rip off the money? Does he? Maybe he gets to rip it off. Maybe he's in on it.
Well, he gets paid for his energy.
He does conspiracy movies. Does it occur to him that the money will be misused? Did that thought ever occur to him over the last 2 weeks of planning this?
Sure.
It did. And he knows he can't control that or whatever, so he's just going through the motions. Is he consciously going through the motions? I mean, how cynical is this guy? You'd say he keeps it vague in his own mind, right? That's the way you survive.
Thank you. That's not the nicest way.
Yeah, you keep it vague about what you're doing.
Good.
Just perform well. Okay, so we got two angles, two relations, two of, the two of everything is part of this two angles, isn't it? Yeah, of course. The two of everything is tactility. Mm-hmm. See, if you take two of everything as, there's two of everything. It doesn't mean that. It means there's relationship, there's tactility. But it can translate visually in quantitative terms into two of everything. And then that's why I later said, well, there's a million of everything. Mm-hmm. But it's the relationship, relationableness of things that allows knowing, being, contrast, and non-physical. And then the third part.
Very, very good.
Let's try to figure out what we've realized. Middle Kingdom is the now. And it's like... Chad could not get to JW unless he went to Bob. Bob's the Middle Kingdom. And that's the way we do it for all our readings. Okay, what is the why, the reason, the consciousness existence has to be that way? Why can't the inner and the outer touch each other?
Well, when you become ascended, they all become as one.
I was saying to Carol that every day Ion gives us a new image, a new model, or works on the model that was given a week before, and we come to a point, we have a new model, the three kingdoms, but it eventually to descend a person cancels out, and then there's no three kingdoms.
Correct.
So Ion lays out a model and says, okay, try to figure out what this means, even though once you're ascended, you won't even be concerned about this model.
Perfect.
That's the game we play every day.
Of course.
We have to know the foundation on which things are built.
Right. Thank you. That's part of the paradox. The person who ascends and drops all that he knows, he has to know what he dropped very well before he ascends. So in that sense, you have to become a genius or get to understand things that most people think they can't understand. They got to take the time and effort to get interested in being and consciousness and knowing and learn a few things or think about a few things. So we welcome the exercise Ion gives us every day. We have three new words, and we play with them. Where do we go from the two angles? Do we go to more many angles?
The next one would be three, be four. They kind of go in sequential order.
You mean there is three angles between the Middle Kingdom and the outer world?
No, there's only two.
Only two. But then why would we move to 3, 4, 5, 6?
Because once you come to the ascension place and you figure out this